The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire workers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too, go to my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again at noon, and around 3 o'clock, and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, he found others standing around, and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too may go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, but begin with the last, ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought they would receive even more, but each also got the usual daily wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give to this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" Thus, the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, there's so many layers to this gospel. I'll see how far I can get. Right. Now, this gospel really, boy, I'll tell you, it can make the blood boil. You know, it's sort of this, "That's not fair!" The kind of cry that it's not fair. We worked all day and they got only, you know, we got the same money as these guys that only worked an hour. You know, man, that's not fair. And there's this part of us that shakes our fist and cries out, "That's right, it's not fair." And listen, I got news for you. If you want to be in a relationship with God where God has to be fair, I want you to look out. Pay attention. Because if God were fair, we'd all be in hell. Are you praying with me on that? I mean, we've got to be careful. If you want to demand that God act in accordance to strict justice with you and with everyone, we're all in very serious trouble. Because we have all sinned grievously. You say, "Well, not me. I'm a good person. I've been good." Stop it. Anyone who says no to God, that is a very bad thing to do. God is the Creator and the Lord and the King of the whole universe. God is the Lord. God is God. And all of us, when we sin, say, "Uh-uh, God, I ain't doing it." Now, that is not... I'm just telling you right now, if you want to demand that God be fair, you and I are all going to be in trouble. All right, that's the first thing to learn about this gospel. As it is, God is merciful, and that's the only thing that we're going to... That's the only reason we even stand a chance, okay? There's only two things that are going to get us home, and that's grace and mercy. All right, gift, complete gift, and mercy. All right. So, be careful, because, you know, this concept, one of the things that Jesus is saying is he's just shattering this notion that you and I can earn salvation, that we can somehow put God in our debt, that God should really owe us anything. It's all grace. And don't just let it be up here intellectually, "Oh yes, I know it's all grace." Because you've got to let it drop 15 inches into your heart. I mean, we've got to get this straight. We are in a complete relationship of grace, because if it's about earning, if it's about I'll do my part so God will have to do his part, if it's about any of that kind of stuff, you and I are in very deep trouble. Okay? Alright. So that's the first lesson from this gospel. Moving on, though, of course, this gospel does feature works. There are people that work in the vineyard. All of them, to some degree, work in the vineyard. But I want you to notice that even in that, there's gift, isn't there? Now, let's talk about day labor for a minute. If you ever go out to Home Depot over here, you see the Latino workers, and they're standing out in the parking lot just kind of... And they're not just shooting the breeze. They're waiting to get hired, you know? And every now and then, I drive in, and they run up to my car, and they kind of motion to me, and No hablo español. but you know, they're looking to see if they can work. They want work. And if I give them work, they're happy, and that's a gift. That means they're going to eat tonight. Okay? Now, if I don't, well, things might be tough. But understand something. There's a powerful image there that work is a gift. If you are in the vineyard and laboring, don't say, look at me, all that I'm doing. Just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, I got hired early. I'm going to eat tonight. Okay? So the idea is that, once again, we have to understand that even our good works are not our gift to God. They are God's gift to us. See? Pretty important to get this straight, too. Because, again, there's kind of this notion that I can somehow put God in my debt. Salvation is in my control. I'll do a little more spiritual push-ups. I'll try a little harder. I'll give a little money to the poor, and God will have to owe me heaven. And I'm telling you right now, that isn't the way it works. Because if you do those things, and I hope you do, they're not your gift to God. They're His gift to you. The letter to the Ephesians chapter 2 says that we were not saved by works, lest any man should boast, but rather we are to walk in the works which God prepared for us beforehand. So any of our good works, God prepared for us. So now, notice again, there's therefore a kind of a topsy-turvy quality to this notion of work. Now, the thing about these day laborers, again, is that they really did. They went from hand to mouth. They either worked that day and they could eat, or they didn't and they didn't eat. And it was a pretty tough existence. And so work is a gift to them. They're happy to work. But notice the attitude they begin to take. And this isn't about workers in a vineyard 2,000 years ago. This is about us. They object at the end of this gospel. This isn't fair. You paid them the same amount you paid us. And we bore the heat of the day. We worked and they really didn't. And again, to fail to see work as a gift is a very, very grave problem. But what about us? How do we do this? Well, how do you see the Christian life? And how do you see the works to which you've been summoned? Do you see them as a burden, as something that's hard and you don't like to do? Is that how you see the Christian life? I hate it. I'd rather be a sinner because sinners have all the fun. And I could sin up until 11:30 and convert and only have to be a saint for a half hour and then get to go to heaven. You see, is that how you see the Christian life? So the Lord is once again asking you in kind of a deep question. He's saying, do you see the life I'm offering you as a burden? As something you've got to work through the heat of the day? As something you'd rather avoid until the last minute and do a deathbed conversion and get to come to heaven? Is that how you see the Christian life? Do you think sinners really have all the fun? See, again, our thinking can become very distorted here. See? Now, let me promise you that sinners do not have all the fun. I've had to pick up some pieces in people's lives. You know, I've sat in that parlor, I've sat in confessionals, I've had talks with people, and I'm telling you right now, sinners do not have all the fun. Okay. Sin. Now, go back to these guys that got hired at the end of the day. Think of all the anxiety they had all day long. They figured by 5 o'clock, I'm not eating tonight. My family and I, we're going to go hungry tonight. Okay? That's how, maybe someone will give us a little food, I don't know. But they go home downcast, embarrassed to their wife and children, say, I had nothing. And the children go away sad. And these guys weren't having a good time all day. Okay? See the idea? Sin is not fun. Being outside the kingdom is not fun. It is not an advantage to be able to sin all your life and make a deathbed conversion. Okay? So that's another teaching that comes from this gospel. So there's all kinds of things here which you know, are taught to us. And maybe I better begin to wrap it up. But he asked a few questions here. And you have to answer them. Let's look at them and I'll be done. Again, they're upset with him, and I've told you all the problems. You be careful before you ask God to be fair. But here they are demanding that God be fair. And so God asked some questions to ask us. If this attitude is in us, okay? Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Now, God promises you two things: a cross to die on and eternal life. Did I not agree with you for the usual daily wage? All right. Now, by the way, don't postpone eternal life until 5 minutes after you're dead, okay? Eternal life actually begins now. You begin to reap the benefits of the kingdom even now. These guys who are working in the vineyard in the heat of the day, all right, but they know they're going to eat tonight. Amen? That's a very great consolation. So don't postpone eternal life. So when I tell you that God promises you two things, a cross to die on and eternal life, He's simply saying to you, I'm not promising you lots of joy from this life, but I am promising you that you'll begin to become more fully alive and you'll begin to have joy and peace and contentment knowing that you're in my grace, that you're in my vineyard. There's a great blessing in that. So, but again, the usual daily wage. I'm not promising you lots of gizmos and gadgets just because you're good. Because you're not going to earn anything, all right? It's not about, all right, now, did I not agree with you for the usual daily wage? What if I wish to give this other person the same wage as you? To compare is to despair. You know, when you and I look at other people and we compare ourselves to them, well, they got more blessings than I did. You don't know that. You have no idea. Man sees the appearance, but God looks into the heart. Do you know the burdens that some people carry? I've had people, you know, as a priest, I sometimes know about people's lives in ways that more than the average person. Someone will come to me and say, oh, look at so-and-so. They seem to have all the blessings. And, of course, I have to keep confidence, so I don't say a word. But I'm saying, you don't know what you're talking about. Do you know the burdens that other person is carrying? They've come to me, and their life may look all pretty on the outside, but inside, there's some pretty painful stuff going on, see? You don't know. So again, what if I wish to give this last one the same as you? See, we are not in a position to know that what God is doing. So again, God is asking us these questions, and He's saying to us, pay attention, answer these questions, all right? Am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? See, again, many people demand answers from God. And God says, I don't owe you an explanation. You know, I'm working here in this way and over here in that way, and I'm God, and you don't know half the picture. You don't know even a tiny part of the picture. In fact, what you know amounts to one, a period at the end of the sentence in one book in the Library of Congress. You know very little. I'm free to do as I wish because I'm God, and I'm the Lord, and I know what I'm doing, and all these questions that you're asking. So again, are you envious because I'm generous? You're blessing that person and it makes me feel bad. Why are you angry that God blesses someone? Shouldn't you rejoice for them? And say, well, maybe God will bless me too? Can that give you hope? Hey. And so again, when questions come up, answer them. And wrestle with them. Now, I didn't have time to wrestle with these questions with you at any length. But again, there's this is a powerful gospel because it's like pow right between the eyes, and God is saying all these premises that you have, the idea that you're earning things, that I'm in your debt, all this notion that I should be quote fair, all these things. God is just pow right between the eyes, saying, pay attention. He's waking us up and He's saying, don't live like this. Don't have a lot of stinking thinking. Don't get stuck on stupid. Don't do that. Pay attention. Grace is a very different world than your world of owning and ownership and debts and credits and all that kind of stuff. The only thing that helps you to even stand a chance is grace and mercy. And if you want to live in any other world, you're not going to make it. So lots of things to consider in a gospel like this. So I need to shut up now because I've gone on too long. All right, amen.